All God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll stand as we read the account of the resurrection in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you. We can come together to worship you and to celebrate the death, burial, resurrection of your Son. Thank you for the assurance you give us once we have been born again. We trust your Son as Savior and Lord. We're on the victory side here on this earth. And then we'll rule and reign with you throughout all eternity. Thank you that we worship the one and only living Savior in the whole world. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you as we study this very precise, vivid account of what happened at the resurrection of our Lord. We lift this prayer up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The image of Buzz Aldrin saluting the American flag on the surface of the moon in 1966 caused all kinds of controversy. Fake news began as soon as this was telecast back to our nation. There are people even to this day that say Americans have never landed on the moon. And let me tell you the reason why. You notice the flag is waving. There is no wind on the moon. The people who are critics, who do not believe in the Apollo moonship landing there, use that as the primary reason to discredit our landing on the moon. But let me tell you what really happened. When the astronaut landed there and he took out the American flag, he had to take it and drive it down into the surface of the moon. And for those of you who go camping and you use flexible rods to establish your tent, you know what happens when you put them in the ground and it goes back and forth. Well, as that pole went back and forth, guess what it did? The flag began to wave. We really landed on the moon. Buzz Aldrin really saluted the American flag. It was waving due to the gyration of the pole. We have people today who deny the Holocaust. They deny it. They distort it. They misuse all of history. I've heard on fake news on television where there was not an Auschwitz, that the Germans did not exterminate 6 million Jews. And the reason why those who carry fake news say that is because they think that all of that is a hoax. They deny all of history. And those who are deniers say that that story was created so that the Jews could get money from the Germans for damage they didn't really cause to the Jewish people, and so that the state of Israel might be established. Richard Dawkins, a well-known atheist, wrote The God Delusion. And here's what he said. He said, "I don't believe in God." And he said, "The proof of God, the proving of the existence of God, lies on the shoulders of Christians." Now listen to me carefully. When you have proof of something, a person who denies the truth, the burden lies on the denier to discredit your truth. We have the archaeologist reports. We have the history recorded by believers and non-believers about this man named Jesus and his death, burial, and his resurrection. Now notice that fake news is not confined to politics. It happens in religion as well. Notice the resurrection and fake news. Matthew 28, if you've got your Bible, your iPad open there, look at verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say this, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The Jews would face the death penalty if they were assigned to guard somebody or something, and any harm came to the somebody or something, these Roman guards would be put to death. So the guards went to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders paid these soldiers to lie about the resurrection and say the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Matthew 27:66, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. I came across some information the other day about the sealing of the tomb. The way that the soldiers would do this is they would take a string after that tomb was secured and that stone was there, and they take that string and put it from one side of the stone to the other to the encasement where it was hewn out of that rock. And then they would take one of the king's seals and put it on one side to attach the string over here. And then they would use another seal to attach the string over here. And if anybody or anything broke the string, that would break the seal, and then the soldiers would get involved. Now notice this. Wasting no time, the chief priests and elders hastened to the tomb with their government-issued soldiers. Now here's what they did. When Jesus' body was placed in there, obviously the ones who prepared his body and those who placed his body in the tomb, they were there. The soldiers came, they secured the tomb, they went in and saw that the body of Jesus was there. And then they rolled the stone, and then they put the string, and they put the seals. Now watch this. There are many people that say that Jesus was just another man. That was not the Savior of the world that was in that tomb. I was reading the other day, a man named Dan Brown writes in the Da Vinci Code, quote, nothing in Christianity is original. He said that Jesus, all that story was made up after the Egyptian god Horus, H-O-R-U-S. Egyptians that believe in that god say that he was born, Horus was born on December 25th. Also, Horus was born of Isis, Mary, a virgin. They also say there was a star in the east that declared Horus' arrival. Three kings came to adore Horus. He became a child prodigy, a teacher at age 12. Horus was also at age 30 baptized and began his ministry. He had 12 disciples. He was betrayed. He was crucified, buried for 3 days, and resurrected after 3 days. Well, let me tell you the truth about Horus. Horus was born to Isis. No mention of her name being Mary. She was not a virgin. She conceived Horus with Osiris. Horus was born on October the 25th, not December 25th. There's no records of three kings visiting Horus. There's no record of him being a savior. There are no accounts of Horus being a teacher at 12. He was not baptized. He did not have a ministry, and he didn't have 12 disciples. In fact, when you look at the historical facts, the Egyptian god Horus was a myth. There was never really a person named Horus. But all of you have heard Jesus of Nazareth before today. We know he exists even to this day and throughout eternity, and he makes a difference. Now notice the resurrection is for real. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, the real news: having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Josephus was a great Jewish historian. Josephus began his historical writings while the emperor Domitian was ruling. And I want you to know that when he authored his autobiography and two major historical works, here's what he said around AD 93. He said at this time, the time of Pilate, there was a wise man who was called Jesus. His conduct was good. He was known to be virtuous, and many people from among the Jews and the other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die. But those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. Accordingly, he was perhaps the Messiah concerning whom the prophets have recounted wonders. Including Josephus, there are 10 known non-Christian writers who mention Jesus within 150 years of his life. By contrast, over the same 150 years, there are 9 non-Christian sources who mention Tiberius Caesar, the Roman Empire, at the time of the life of Jesus. Jesus lived during the time of Tiberius Caesar. Jesus lived a virtuous life. He was a wonder worker. He had a half-brother named James. He was acclaimed to be the Messiah. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And then he was crucified on the eve of the Jewish Passover. Darkness and an earthquake occurred when he died. The disciples believed he rose from the dead. His disciples were willing to die for this belief, and Christianity spread as far as Rome. His disciples denied the Roman gods and worshiped Jesus. When you're trying to document something as true, what do you have to have? 7 things. You got to have an early testimony. Do we have that? Yes, we do, from Christians and non-Christians. You got to have an eyewitness to the testimony. Jesus appeared to over 500 at one time. Number 3, do we have testimony from multiple independent sources? We have even non-Christians who were historians who tell about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Are the eyewitnesses trustworthy? Yes. Do we have a corroborating evidence from archaeology and other sources? Yes, we do. Do we have any enemy attestation? Yes. Does the testimony contain anything that would be considered embarrassing to the authors? Yes, we do. In most cases, documents that meet most of these historical tests are trustworthy. Listen to what we have. We have an empty tomb. Notice the next thing we have there. We have appearances to the disciples. Can you imagine being Saul on the road to Tarsus? And all of a sudden he's struck and stricken because he's seen the living Lord. Then we have the establishment and rapid growth of the Christian church. And then we have the resolve, the unshakable faith of the eyewitness accounts. No other historical explanation can satisfactorily account for these indisputable facts. But then I want you to know the resurrection negatives. We see here in Acts 17:31, the resurrection is bad news. God has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man. He has appointed and he proved to everyone who this is by the raising him from the dead. You ever come home and your wife say, listen, I've got bad news and I got good news. Which one do you want first? I always want the bad news first. I want to end the day on a high note. The other day I went to crank our little car. Won't. Won't. I called AAA. The same guy that came the last two times to crank our little convertible came a third time. I was so embarrassed. I said, "I'm so sorry to have to call you again." He said, "You know, it's kind of a pretty drive out this way." And so he cranks. I said, "Look, you don't have to worry. Today I'm going to buy a battery. I've already ordered it. I got a man that's going to put it in." And I gave him a Chick-fil-A card and a $5 bill and said, "Go buy your lunch." And I hope he doesn't tell that on me. And then power went out last Sunday morning. And the backup battery went out on our alarm system. And I called the people that service our alarm, Burglar Security Plus. They'll pay me $100 later on for the plug. And I sent them out to the house. And in 10 minutes, they had it fixed. Bad news. Car wouldn't start. Good news. Some of our inactive members are breaking in our house right now. We will catch them on camera and with the alarm. Let me tell you the bad news. Acts 2:32. Peter's preaching. He tells the Jews and everyone who's listening, the bad news, if you die without trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you make Jesus a liar and you will spend eternity in hell. That's the bad news of the resurrection. For those who deny the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and deny him as being their Savior. Now listen carefully. This is bad news because if you're angry with somebody, you're subject to judgment. Matthew 5:22, if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. John 8:24, unless you believe I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. John 12:48, all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have proclaimed. Judgment is something the man made up, some people say, to keep other people in line. How many of you saw on the news several weeks ago where a man was asked to get off a United flight? He refused to do that. They had to forcibly get him off the plane. And ladies and gentlemen, when the police come to your house or they come somewhere on an emergency call, the best thing for you to do is do hands up. It's just a real good idea in case of emergency. Federal law says that any employee of an airline who asks you to disembark, you must get off the plane. I don't know what this man was doing, but they instructed him to get off the plane. He decided to cause a scene. And so employees of the airline and also security came on board and they literally drug this man off the airplane. Was it a bad scene? Yes. Was it embarrassing to the airlines? Yes. Was this man guilty of disobeying federal law? Yes. Is this man going to get a multi-million-dollar settlement from the airlines? Yes. And you see, that's the kind of law we try to practice here in the United States. You go out and rob somebody, murder somebody, or do something that's racially motivated, you get caught and you're guilty, and you make a big stink if you're guilty. The rules don't apply to me. I'm an exception. You can't tell me what to do. And the next thing you know, the criminal has sued the victim and has won. Ladies and gentlemen, when we go before the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, no slack will be cut. There won't be any deals at the great white throne judgment where those who've rejected Jesus as Savior and as Lord, their punishment will be meted out and they will not win a $1 million settlement. They will have chosen a place called hell for eternity. But those of us who are saved, our salvation is secure. We're going to go before the beam of the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, the things that we've done, our motives are going to be tested. In our works and our thoughts and our deeds, are going to be judged, and that which we did to glorify Christ are going to be rewarded, and the other things are going to burn like wood, hay, stubble. And notice the resurrection is fabulous news. Matthew 28, 1 through 10, Friday of his crucifixion, most horrific day in history. I want you to know the resurrection was the most miraculous day in history. I like what the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. He said, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I risk my whole eternity, and the resurrection is the why. Notice the speedy arrival in Matthew 28, verse 1. The women were anxious to get to the tomb. Now notice what they were doing. They had an unshakable love, and they were going there on that third day, and they brought some more spices because they were expecting to once again anoint a body that had already been embalmed. Look at Mark 16, 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. You find it in Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24, verse 10. And John 20, verse 1. They had no idea they were going to witness a resurrected Christ. Notice in Matthew 28, 2 and 3, the supernatural account. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Ever been through an earthquake? That's one of the most insecure, unsettling things you'll ever experience. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the second earthquake in 3 days. It's like the Lord is saying, may I have your attention, please? On the cross, on the death, the occasion of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an earthquake. Listen to me carefully. It does not say there was an earthquake when he rose from the dead. It says when the angel appeared, there was an earthquake. And I want you to see the soldiers there. It says very properly, and the soldiers appeared to be as dead men. They fainted. They are out cold. But I want you to notice something else. The angel says nothing to those soldiers who are passed out. Just let them stay out cold. The angel looked at these ladies and said, listen, he is not here. He is risen. Notice a little further down what I read for you, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. These ladies came expecting to anoint a dead body, and they wound up worshiping at the resurrected Savior's feet. Now notice a special announcement. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus. To those who are out cold, they didn't do like my mama when you had double pneumonia or the flu or the both way virus. My mama always put a cold cloth on everything. The angel doesn't even put a cold cloth. The angel is concerned about the fear that was in the hearts of Jesus' disciples. These women were blessed to get to go into that tomb. They were the first to realize the body of Jesus was not there. Then the angel gave them a simple task. Just go tell the disciples, Jesus has already preceded you to go to Galilee. The Savior's affirmation, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. In verse 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brothers that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. You ever been to a real powerful worship service? I bet you that was the greatest service they'd attended to date in their entire life. He was alive. He was beyond debate. I wonder how CNN would have reported the resurrection. I wonder how ABC, CBS, CNBC would have reported the resurrection. In 1887, 22 years after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, people demanded that his casket be dug up, because shortly after Abraham Lincoln's funeral, fake news started. People said, "We don't think Abraham Lincoln's dead, and we won't be satisfied until you dig up his casket and look inside. We've got to know he's dead." Can you imagine laying in your casket for 22 years and somebody went and dug you up? I don't even want to go there. Your Chanel number 5 expired a long time ago. And for those of us in the 70s, we just a little brute and a little wild root, that was all that would do you. It would be long, long gone. But I want you to know, because of fake news and rumors, they had to dig up the body of Abraham Lincoln. And guess what? When they looked in, his body was still there. Well, guess what happened? Some more people were not satisfied. And if you study your history about presidents, 14 years later, they had to dig him up and open his casket again, because people wanted to be sure he was dead. If President Trump today wanted to ring up Abraham Lincoln for a little advice, I don't think there'd be a response. If scientists decided they needed to talk to Einstein for just a few minutes, I don't think there'd be a response. Somebody would call out to Mohammed, a Buddha, a Gandhi. There'd be no help. But I want you to know, if you, as a brother and sister of Christ, call out to Jesus, there's power. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says this: whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. He will respond and transform your heart and your life forever. Fake news. There was no Jesus. He was a myth. The disciples stole his body. Here's the real news, and I'm kind of fond of truth. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, and rose again. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living. Just because he lives. The real news of Easter. Let's share it. Would you stand right where you are?